they were in a deep conversation with somebody and you passed by them and you spoke to them. Amen. And they didn't even acknowledge you.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to any of y'all? This has happened to me a lot of times, praise God. And what do you do when that happens? Praise God. Most of the times we'll just smile. There's two ways I can answer that. If you are a mature Christian, praise God, you will just smile, praise God, and then maybe walk on by. You may speak again. You may even tap them on the shoulder, praise God, because it's not that they're trying to slight you. They were just not acknowledging your presence at that time, praise God. It's not that they were trying to be messy, praise God. See, because that has happened even in my own family. And if it can happen in our relationships, praise God, with friends and family members, guess what? It surely can happen in our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Amen. What am I trying to say? You see, sometimes we, as born-again believers, we as people traveling this road, sometimes we get preoccupied.
Yeah.
Amen. And we may miss his guidance.
Yeah.
So if we have God's guidance, which is nothing but the word of God.
Yeah.
Praise God. We must pay attention to him with faith that is alive and expectant.
Yeah.
And not just in special moments of devotion and prayer.
Yeah.
In other words, we are to acknowledge him in all our ways, in the days and at night. At work and at play, in rest and in worship, in relationships and when we are alone. Therefore, God guides us if we acknowledge him. And my brothers and my sisters, I'm telling you that we are to acknowledge him today for what he is, for who he is, and what he can, in fact, do for us. But the second condition, in order to acknowledge in him, we have to put our trust in him. Yeah, I gave you the definition of that word trust a little earlier, which is an assured reliance on the character, the strength, truth of someone or something. I'm talking about a basic reliance of faith and hope. And our text tells us to trust in the Lord. Amen. With all our heart. Praise God. And lean not to our own understanding. Amen. You see, we must trust him. I'm talking about trust him in the hours of special needs when there is no one else to trust. Amen. Can I say that again? Amen. Some of those times when you are lonely. Amen, you got to trust in him. Some of those times, praise God, when you feel that you are all alone, amen, you got to trust in him. There are times when we may be in the midst of 100,000 people, but praise God, we feel as though we are all by ourselves. But guess what? We have to continue to trust in him. Praise God, not only in those special hours, we have to trust in him. Job said these words, amen. Y'all know the words of Job, Job chapter 13, verse 15. Job had gone through a lot. He did. But guess what Job said? He said, though he slay me, praise God, yet will I trust him. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. I'm trying to help somebody. You may be going through some stuff today. You don't even know why it happened. You don't even know how it happened. But keep your trust in him. Praise God. Because he said, I will. He made a promise to us. He said that I will direct your path. You see, we have to trust him when we are called upon to do some unique assignment which we feel that we are insecure. are inadequate of doing.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Shackled and bound by sin. And I believe I can hear Isaiah saying in Isaiah 1 and 18, he said, "Come now, let us reason together. Said the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then there's a song I was just started off with, said, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell anybody about somebody who loves everybody." And so in the text, in verse 2 through 4, we note that the text mentions this young servant girl in the house of Naaman. And after those two verses, Brother Buckner, she never mentioned again in the Bible. We don't know who her parents were. We don't know what town she came from. We don't know when she died, how she died, nor do we know that much about how she lived. And even more, we don't even know her name. But while the Bible is largely silent about this girl, the one thing we do know is that she made a difference. She made a difference because her life touched the people around her in powerful ways. And so she may have been a nobody as far as the people of her time may have felt, but still her life mattered. And so this morning, I would like for us to consider this little nameless maiden who was a nobody, but she made a difference in the life of Naaman and his family, in the history of the nation of Israel and the history of Syria. And so even if there's only sparse information about this young lady, I believe her life has some big lessons that can teach us this morning. And so I want to try and encourage somebody here, and perhaps somebody listening by way of radio or Facebook Live, that even if you feel as if you are nobody, and even if others try to make you feel that you are nobody, I want you to know that if you are lost, you can be saved. And if you are saved, your name may not be in lights written in big letters on the spiritual marquee of life, but you are somebody as far as the Lord is concerned. And so with your prayers this morning, I want to talk about a nobody who made a difference. Now, the first thing we note in the text as we consider the lesson taught here concerning this young lady is the condition that defined her. Note, if you will, that verse 2 tells us something about her background that reveals she was born in Israel, meaning she was a part of God's covenant people. But she was taken captive by Naaman and his men and in what was probably a small-scale border raid in Israel. Then Naaman presented her to his wife to be a slave, a house servant in the home of a Syrian general. And short, but Jackson, she was a nobody in a famous house. But now it appears in verse 3 that she had a good relationship with Naaman's wife, but she was still a slave, and that is all she would ever be. She would never rise to power, perhaps ever have a family of her own, because her life was that of a lowly, lonely servant. And from all appearances, her existence was hard, and her prospect for the future was bleak, but as the text revealed, God was working in her life. And his providence is, can be plainly seen, because God put her where she was so that she might he might use her for his glory. Now, my brothers and sisters, there's a lesson here in the condition of her life that we don't want to miss, because most people in this room will never become famous. Some of us will never be known outside the circle of our family and friends. Because in truth, most of us are just nobodies as far as the world is concerned. Folk don't know us in Washington, D.C., in the White House. We're not consulted when important decisions have to be made. But in spite of that, our lives matter. They matter because God has you and he has me where we are for a purpose. Because no matter what you are, anyone else, what anyone else may feel or think, I tell you, you matter. Perhaps your purpose here may be to just faithfully serve the Lord. Amen. And if so, I need to tell you that's an important work. Perhaps your purpose here is to teach children how to love the Lord and live for his glory. If so, that's important work. Your purpose here may be to support God's kingdom work in the world through liberal giving. If so, that is important work. Your purpose here may be to serve as a prayer warrior by lifting the needs of others up to the Lord. If so, that is important work. Your purpose here might be to witness to your friends and co-workers. If so, that is an important work. The bottom line, my brothers and sisters, whatever your purpose for being in the world right now, God has placed you where you are for his glory. Meaning your life matter because your life has been orchestrated by God as part of his eternal purpose. And so how many of you here this morning who can witness to the fact that God can take a so-called nobody and by his power he can turn you into somebody. He can turn you into somebody for his glory. For instance, there was another little Jewish girl by the name of Esther who, when her people was threatened by a wicked and powerful man, she was confused about what she should do in a situation. But her cousin, who was an important figure in her life, spoke to her about her duty before the Lord. Now, he wanted her to speak to her husband to convince him to change his mind about what was going to happen to his people. Now, but now she was afraid to speak to her husband about the issue because he was also her king. And he hadn't called her to enter his presence. And she knew that to enter into the presence of the king without a royal invitation was to face possible death. But her cousin urged her to do whatever was necessary to save her people. He said to her, according to Esther 4:14, he said, "Who knows, yet who knows, whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And yes, Esther was a nobody in the world, but God in his providence raised her up out of obscurity and put her exactly where she needed to be to make a difference for the Jews, because Esther did speak to the king, and God used her to save her people. Now, my brothers and sisters, both this young maiden in our text, along with Queen Esther, teaches us the same truth, and that truth is God has worked in your life and my life to place us just where we are, and he's charge of opening and closing all the doors in our lives as he leads us to where we need be. And so regardless of where you are or who you are, you need to know that the Lord has a plan to use your life for his glory. Because I tell you, your life matters. For instance, David thought that he was a nobody because he was the youngest son in a humble family. But God chose him to be over, to be king over his people, Israel. Elijah thought he was a nobody, yeah, but God raised him up out of obscurity, yeah, and used him to touch a nation. And so you may think that you are nobody, but if you by faith give your life to the Lord, if you already belong to the Lord, I tell you, he has some big plans for your life. Because my brothers and sisters, no matter how mundane your service to the Lord may be, if he's working through your life, you are not a nobody. You are somebody because your name is known all the way up in heaven. But not only does the text reveal the condition that defined her, but also the convictions that developed her life. My brothers and sisters, this young lady may have been a humble slave in the eyes of the Syrians, but she was a giant when it came to her faith. Me and this little captive slave girl knew some important truths about God and how he works. Because it seemed from verse 3 that someone had taught this girl about the power of God. She knew who God was, and she knew what he could do for those who placed their faith in him. But it was her conviction about God that shaped the way she lived her life. And so let me show you what she knew about God. Well, she knew that the God of Israel was real, but the people of Syria didn't serve the Lord God Almighty. According to verse 18, they worshiped a false god named Rimmon, who was called the storm god. They thought Rimmon had the power to control the weather patterns, crop growth, as well as storms. But this young lady knew the God of creation. She knew the God who was able to deliver his people from slavery. She knew the God who was able to display his power in countless ways. She knew the God Almighty who made her different and made her life count. She knew that God had the power to heal, and that God alone was worthy to be worshipped. Because by her mentioning God to a mistress, she was revealing her dedication to the God of Israel. Now, she may have been a captive in a pagan country, but her heart still belonged to the Lord God Jehovah. My brothers and sisters, her faith in God is a testimony to us this morning, because our convictions about God and his word should determine how we live, meaning that we believe that God is truly God and the Bible is truly his word, it should affect the way we live. Because let's be honest, we live in a world that places little emphasis on conviction. Because let's be honest, I tell you, the word conviction simply means to be convinced. Because when we are convinced about something, our minds are hard to change. And so if I'm convinced that same-sex marriage is wrong, and I am, you will not change my mind. If I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord and nobody can be saved other than through him, and I am, you will not be able to change my mind. If I'm convinced that the Bible is the word of God, and I am, then I will order my life according to what God's book says, and you will not change my mind about it. Because as people of God, we are to be governed by biblical convictions. In other words, we should base what we believe to be right or wrong on what the Bible says and not our opinions. We should also base our doctrinal convictions on what the Bible says, because for too long, people of God have lived by emotions and preferences, and we've allowed our personal opinions to shape us and our churches into what they are today. Because far too long, we have come across as legalistic and rigid in our beliefs, but there is a huge difference between a personal opinion about some mission and a true biblical conviction. Because of true conviction is always based on a clear word from God. Meaning that the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, then it's wrong, no matter what you think or I think. And so just because tradition says this is the way we've done it, well, it doesn't mean that it has to be right. Because the question is, what does the Bible say? Is it just an opinion or preference? And let me say to us that I, too, have strong opinions by many matters as well as you. But I should never be, you should never be forced. I should never try to force you to live according to my opinions. And you shouldn't try to make me live by yours. The bottom line is that what we all need is to be convinced in our hearts that God is God and that his word is truth. Because when we are able to hold on to our biblical convictions, it will make us stand out in the world and like this little slave girl did in her world. She was a light to the house of Naaman. And in the same way, we are to be lights in a dark world. And my brothers and sisters, when we embrace biblical convictions in our hearts and live them out in our lives, we will be lights that shine in the darkness like this young maiden of our text. But not only does the text reveal the condition that defined her life and the conviction that developed her life, but also the compassion that directed her life. Because here we see another remarkable characteristic of this young woman was her compassion. Remember now, she's a slave in Naaman the general's house. Amen. He captured her and wall. He removed her from her family. He removed her from her home and her country. He enslaved her and forced her to serve his wife. And so she has every reason to have nothing but hatred in her heart for Naaman and his wife. But she didn't, because when Naaman's leprosy became known, well, she could have kept her mouth shut, Brother Jones, and let that disease consume him. She could have just laughed in her heart and said, now you're getting exactly what you deserve. But guess what? She didn't. What she did was she displayed the reality of God in her heart by talking to Naaman's wife about God's mane and God's power to heal Naaman. In other words, this young girl displayed love and compassion toward a man who didn't deserve neither of these blessings from her. And all my brothers and sisters, when I read about her and her compassion for Naaman, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that her faith in God was real. Because when we love like we should, we will reach out and help those around. And so this young lady in the text set a shining example for others, because she teaches us that it's possible to love even our enemies, just like Jesus said we should do. She also teaches us that it's possible to forgive those who hurt us, and that we should and can do everything in our power to help them. In other words, she teaches us what the saints of God are supposed to do when they are confronted by the needs of their enemies and by those who do them wrong. Because Jesus summed up everything I'm trying to say in Matthew 5:43-44, when he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He said, but I say to you, love your enemy Amen. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Right? And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And so this name, this little servant girl, shows us what a life of love is all about. She reminds us that we are never more like Jesus than when we are able to love others as he does. And that's the lesson we should take to heart. And so after seeing the condition that defined her life, the conviction that developed her life, and the compassion that directed her life, well, finally, we see the consequences that derive from her life. My brothers and sisters, the fact that this little unnamed girl cared, Naaman now has new hope, because someone told the king what this little slave girl had said to Naaman's wife. And the king sent Naaman to Israel to find the prophet Elisha. And when he did, he followed Elisha's instruction. And guess what? He was healed. All because of the fact that this little unnamed slave girl was in the right place at the right time. She believed in God, and God used her for his glory. Now, a simple statement like the one that this girl made to Naaman's wife seems like a little thing. No, she says in verse 3, if your husband Naaman would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy. Now, this she probably said to her mistress in passing, because she knew that her mistress had no reason to listen to anything that she said. But I'm thank God that she did. And that simple statement changed the life of Naaman and his family. My brothers and sisters, but now what happened to this young lady after the event of this chapter, I tell you, we just don't know. Because she walks on the stage of history only for a short scene. And then she vanishes back into the shadows of obscurity. We don't know what happened to her, but what we do have is the confidence and the conviction that the redeemed one day will meet her in glory. She will be there because of her faith in God. And so as I try and move to the close, because it looks like y'all getting a little drowsy on me, what matters most here is that her life mattered. She made a difference where she was. She was a nobody, but God used her in a big way. And in the same way, somebody listening this morning, you may feel insignificant too, but you need to remember that God excels in taking what others see as nothing and using it in a big way. For instance, he used a little stick in the hand of Moses to part the Red Sea and delivered his people from Pharaoh's army. He used David, a slingshot and a stone, to kill that arrogant giant by the name of Goliath. He used a little piece of bread called manna to feed his people for 40 years in the wilderness. He used a little widow and a little meal and a little oil to take care of the man of God throughout a famine in the land. He used the little boy's length of 2 fish and 5 barley loaves to feed a multitude and have 12 baskets left over. He used a little unknown virgin by the name of Mary to bring a little boy, a baby boy, into the world who would grow up to be Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm talking about Jesus, the one who hung, bled, and died for your sin and mine out on the old rugged cross, who laid in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. But it was bright early Sunday morning that he got up from that grave with all power hour, and heaven and earth in his hand, providing salvation to all who would believe and receive him as Savior and Lord. Ain't God all right? And so in closing, like the little slave girl, I tell you, he'll use you today, even if you feel that you are nobody. All you got to do is trust and obey and allow him to use you. I don't know about you, but I want my time in this world to count for God. As the songwriter say, may the work I've done speak for me.